The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Greetings everyone, welcome along. You're listening to Wednesday's Racing Podcast here with William Hill Radio. Dave Kellner in the studio with racing legend John Budden sitting opposite me to look ahead to Wednesday's racing action. John will be back in the studio on Wednesday afternoon, joined by Sean Quinn and Darren Owen, who's feeling a little bit deflated at the moment, Mr. Owen, after having led the Naps table for the last month or so. He's had five consecutive losers, and every time I see the Wizard's beaming face now, he's bemoaning his bad fortune, Mr. Budden.
He certainly is. Yes, he's been going on, I think, for even longer than five, and he really is depressed about it, because although he refused to admit it, I think he was quietly optimistic that he might carry off the prize. Hey, he still could do so, of course.
He's had a numerous second place finishes recently, which always seems to be the trend, the way it works. And Darren Owen, having led, is now, we're recording this before Tuesday's racing action, £4 behind Mr. Owen. So hopefully he'll be able to make inroads. But there's still a long way to go. There's still 3 or 4 weeks, John.
Yes, I was going to say, he needn't get too depressed. I mean, it's only £4 adrift. Some of us are quite significantly further adrift.
Just before we get stuck into Wednesday's racing action, a little bit of racing news to discuss. And we'll start off with what you mentioned just before we... went live a few moments ago, John, off air, and the news that Rival Destroval has had a full scan, and there has been a problem with the horse, John.
Yes, well, Rival Destroval, of course, came to fame, as you might say, when strongly fancied and very well tipped up here in the studio by myself for the 4-mile National Hunt Chase at Cheltenham, not this time round, but in 2013. And I'm quite certain he would have won. Derek O'Connor was convinced he would have won if he hadn't suddenly lost focus and come down 2 out, slipped up basically on landing when he was full of running. Now, the interesting thing about Rival Destroval, DK, is that over the whole of his career, even over hurdles, he has tended to come back in the middle of the autumn, run a tremendous race, win really handsomely, and then next time out, when everyone thinks, well, he's got to follow up, he's just dropped away, and he's put in a very poor run indeed. And it happened at the end of last year, after the 4 mile, that he was put into the Scottish National because he was apparently in very good trim, and he jumped like a crab, and he had to be pulled up after a mile. So in the end, the Greens, Ray Green and his wife Anita, decided that they would really have him properly scanned, you know, thoroughly scanned in the best Newmarket vets, studios and operation theatres, as you might say. And they discovered that, in fact, he'd had a lifelong flaw of 3 fused vertebrae at the top of his spine.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Well, it is, you see. And it would account for the fact that after a long break, he apparently all right, and then the effort of the race left him sore in this particular area. So he's had these vertebrae defused, separated. Apparently the operation is a big success, and there is discussion of Rival Destroval running in a big race again before the end of the season, possibly the Scottish National again.
Yeah, Scottish National coming around about 2 weeks after the Aintree's Grand National. He did subsequently run on the 18th of January, didn't he, this year?
He's won. Yes, he's run once, not badly, actually, in quite a decent race at Haydock, and he dropped out from the home turn.
Yeah. So keep your eye on Rival Destroval if he does go to the Scottish Grand National later on in the season. That's in the world of jumping, John. Most of the news revolving around the flat at the moment, with the William Hill Lincoln back at the weekend, and Also, the racing page is looking forward to the Guineas now, John. And following Australia's gallop last weekend on unsuitable ground, he was cut for the 2,000 Guineas. Now only 2-1 for the 2,000 Guineas, which it's an incredible scenario to me, John, because a horse like Australia on ground that he doesn't want to run on, will never run on again, produces a decent bit of work in a racecourse gallop, and suddenly the clamour for the horse, the hype surrounding the horse has skyrocketed.
Oh, well, it has, hasn't it? And the price has absolutely dropped to too short a price for me even to consider backing at this moment anyhow, DK. I did like Australia. When I saw him last year, a brief glance, I thought to myself, this is a horse who will improve. But it's interesting that the Hannons have decided, because of the enormous sort of gamble, as you might say, on Australia, to avoid him. They were thinking of running Tormore in the Greenham. But if Australia runs before the Guineas, he will run at Newbury in the Greenham. And so the Hannons, Richard Hannon Jr. now in charge, have decided that their representative, Tormore, will in fact go for the Craven Stakes instead. The Craven Stakes won, of course, by Richard Hannon Sr. on the last two occasions with Trumpet Major and Toronado.
Yes.
Toronado, of course, being a desperate disappointment in the 2,000 Guineas. It really nearly caused tears all over the country, certainly in Wiltshire. So there is a revenge needs to take place for the Hannon camp. What I like about Tormore is, A, he ran particularly well last year as a two-year-old.
He was the champion, your European two-year-old, wasn't he, which people are maybe forgetting at this point in the season.
They are forgetting. Well, they may well be forgetting. But, I mean, I thought he ran with tremendous enthusiasm and guts last year as a two-year-old. And I marked him down as my Guineas runner a long time ago. And I fully intend to support him. I think, too, the owners. I'm a great follower of Midland Park Racing. And Tim Palin is the guru behind that. And, you know, they're very, very successful, and here they have a possibility of a classic winner. Now, when you think of the kudos that High Clear have gained by their big race winners, for Midland Park to actually get possibly the winner of the 2,000 Guineas will be a tremendous plus. I think he will run very well. Hopefully, you know, he'll show that in the Craven, come absolutely tip-top for Newmarket at Guineas Day, and run well. Coincidence bit too, of course, the last school I ever taught at, DK, was called Tormore.
Aha, must bet there. 8-1 Tormore for the Kipco 2,000 Guineas here with William Hill. As far as the 1,000 Guineas is concerned, a little bit of breaking news in Tuesday's Racing Post. George Margeson has stepped up security at his Graham Lodge stables in Newmarket, as he prepares his star filly, Lucky Cristal, for the 1,000 Guineas. Do they need extra security?
I would have thought he did, actually, DK, yes. You know, he hasn't got an enormous stable. I don't know what the security was like prior to CCTV being put in. But, again, rather like Midland Park Racing, this is an enormous opportunity for George Margeson. If Lucky Cristal has improved over the winter, then surely she's got to go really well in the 1,000 Guineas. You know, last summer and early autumn, I thought she was a precocious two-year-old filly who might conceivably not mature and grow further into herself over the winter. But the suggestion is that she's done really well. Security, yes. A silly old story comes back to me, DK, of the late 1970s. There was a marvellous Cumbrian chaser called Forest King, who was trained by a chap called Hoggy, Ken Hogg, not far from Penrith, won 9 races in a row, including the Ida Chase in his first season as a chaser, strongly fancied for the Grand National. I think it was the second time he was going to go to Liverpool, and Connections were really pleased with his progress. Ken Hogg had galloped him with some good horses from the then Gordon Richards stable. Ron Barry was due to ride. He was delighted with the condition of the horse. Ken Hogg went into supper, having just checked the horse, came out again 3 hours later, and there was a different animal. He was absolutely, well, not dead on his feet, but completely flat. He was very, very unhappy with himself, had to be scratched the next day. And, you know, Ken Hogg, well, he's 99.9% certain that somebody actually got at him in the 2 hours between he had left him before supper and coming back at 10 o'clock in the evening. So small stables, it is very important that their security is brought up to the highest level.
Lucky Cristal is currently a 14-1 shot for the 1,000 guineas. Does it irk you at all that George Margeson inclined to go for a racecourse gallop at the Craven meeting rather than taking one of the trials? Do you find that irksome?
Not really, DK. No, not irksome.
Some people do, though, don't they, John? Some people don't like the idea of racecourse gallops when there are races for prize money and not just bettors, but spectators as well want to see the horses in races rather than gallops.
And I can see that point, DK, and that the trend, though, over recent seasons, I think, is for trainers with fancied horses in big races not necessarily to run them in trials. One of the worries, really, in that the fields for trials have dwindled to, you know, very small numbers.
Yeah.
I see your point, but, I mean, Australia, for example, although he is actually down in the Greenham, may well not run before the 2,000 guineas. It's I don't think it is essential. It doesn't irk me. And I understand from the Gallops reports that Lucky Cristal has been working extremely well with older horses, as indeed she did as a two-year-old last year. So, you know, George Margeson is a very shrewd performer, and he probably wants to get the horse fresh first time out for the big one.
Early May, the 1,000 guineas and the 2,000 guineas. Don't forget the William Hill Lincoln coming up this weekend as well. Right now, we're going to have a look at three races for Wednesday's racing action. John will be back with you on Wednesday afternoon alongside Sean Quinn and Darren Owen to take you through all Wednesday's racing action. We've got meetings from Exeter, Lingfield and Southwell in the afternoon, and Ken Pitterson will be on the course at Kempton for their evening meeting starting at 5:30 on Wednesday. And we'll start off with the jumps action, John, and the 3:10 at Exeter, a handicap chase over 2 miles and three furlongs. And this is a really interesting race, John, with Gonna Be Devil having spent such a long time on the sidelines. Didn't run from the 1st of November to the 31st of December 2013, 1st of November 2011. So spent over 2 years on the sidelines, but came back and won at 16-1 at Warwick on soft ground over 3 miles and a furlong. And going for this belated hat-trick here, John, going to be a devil. There's always that concern of the bounce factor, though, I suppose, here.
Yeah, I think there is, DK. It's quite right. But this is quite a fascinating novices limited handicap, and going to be a devil. It'll be very interesting to see how the market goes.
Yes.
Trained by Jeremy Scott, who, of course, sends out really quite a lot of winners at Exeter. He trains on Exmoor, fairly close to Holden Hill, so it's a local course for him. And as I say, this horse won very well at Exeter prior to that immense layoff. Then was a very surprising and impressive winner at Warwick. If there's no bounce factor, I think he's got every chance of playing a serious hand in this race. Comes back in trip, but the ground will suit, and Exeter is a galloping track, as we know, and I think Gonna Be a Devil is certainly in with every squeak. I'm not going to make him my choice, though,
yes.
DK.
Yes, John.
I think it's a very, very interesting race. We get Toby Lerone heads the weights. I don't think he's basically got the form to win the contest. The Skelton Stable, Dan Skelton Stable, tremendous form running up to the Christmas and the New Year. They've been a bit quiet since, but there is a suggestion the horses are coming back into a bit of form, but only fifth behind Bold Chief at Yetoxeter last time, I'd say. I think he's got plenty to do at the the top. Interesting horse for me is the Atlantic Roller, who represents Paul Nichols and Nick Schofield. I think I'm right in saying, DK, he was a good novice hurdler.
He was. He was a good novice hurdler. He won a novice hurdle at Exeter back in November 2012, but subsequently, having spent a long time on the sidelines, disappointed on the last couple of occasions, once at Cheltenham and once at Doncaster back in January. But I think this drop back in trip is likely to suit Atlantic Roller.
Yeah, I thought so too. And if you take the Cheltenham brand, it wasn't that disappointing, DK. It was a fairly tight handicap hurdle, finished 11th of 20 or whatever it was behind Thomas Crapper. And the form was fair. Very disappointing at Doncaster, one has to admit that. Absolutely desperately disappointing. Third of four. Comes back in trip. Obviously a horse who has had problems, but equally one who showed a lot of ability as a novice. So obviously interesting. Other runners in the race who might have a chance. Gore's Island represents Gary Moore, Joshua Moore in the saddle. I thought improving at a level. Whether the level is quite good enough for this competitive chase, I'm not sure, but was a perfectly sound second at Exeter, and the stable obviously in very good form indeed. But I'm going to go for Alan King's runner here. DK McVicker will be my choice here. Chocolate Thornton in the saddle. Unexposed, lightly raced, and did in fact run several times, or a couple of times, when the King stable were not in tremendous form. For example, he finished third of 13 in quite a competitive heat at Sandown a couple of outings ago, and the form of that race would suggest he'd have got a very good chance here. And I also liked the run, first time out again after the King horses had come back from a break. Fourth of nine at Wincanton behind Jumps Road. I think that was a really decent performance with the stable much improved over the past month. I thought McVicker was nicely treated here. A fresh horse could go well.
Yeah, they had a winner with Bull and Bush at Toaster on Monday afternoon. It's well worth noting in that race as well, you've got Gore's Island and Gorski Island in the same race. So that's one of those races where if you're in the betting shop, John, in the olden days anyway, you just write Gore and Island and then just claim both, isn't it? I'm sure some deceptive souls have done that in the past.
Yeah, I fear they have. Yes, DK, yes, I fear that. Any possible move to get happily into the winner's circle.
Let's move on and look at a couple of races at Southwell, the all-weather meeting on Wednesday afternoon, the 3:21st. This is a handicap of a mile. Eight runners in here, John, and my son Max is at the top of the weights, the top of the handicap, my son Max, for Michael Blake and Dale Swift. Yeah, winner last time out.
A big gamble last time out. I think he's wearing a visor then for the first time, and it looked to be in trouble at halfway stage, but came through to win very easily indeed. It was, however, a low-grade race, and this is slightly better. He's also at the top of the weights. I'm just going to avoid my son Max.
And you never know if the visor's going to work as well second time, do you either, John?
It, absolutely right, DK. You don't, and I think that possible caveat, plus the fact that there's plenty of weight on and this is a better race, suggests that I'm just going to swerve my son Max. Interesting contest, though. There's horses like Piscino in it and Silly Billy right at the bottom for John Balding, who's got plenty of course form. Then there is my choice. I'm quite keen on Sound Advice in this contest. I think he's extremely well weighted. He's trained, of course, by Keith Dalgleish. This, incidentally, DK, was the horse who won first time out as a 2-year-old at Musselburgh when Paul Mulrennan had just come to Musselburgh after running a 4-timer at York at the May meeting. And he won on Sound Advice. As soon as the horse went past the winning post, instead of bearing right with the contours of the track. He went straight on, crashed through the plastic rails, right. Hurled Paul Mulrennan to the ground. And you may remember he was off for 9 months with a broken leg. And he did, in fact, come into the studio for the first time and punned it.
Got a much better memory than me, John.
Well, that was sound advice as a two-year-old. But I think he's got the form to win here. Keith Dalglish in tremendous form, incidentally. Not just on the flat, on the all weather, but also jumps. There was a gamble at Kelso on Saturday when a horse called Bellafon won very well indeed. And he's got, huge strike weight, hugely profitable strike rate over hurdles at the moment.
Three winners in his last nine, with his last nine runners over the course of the last 14 days, John, so in really good form.
He's in very good form, and he's got Chucky Royal going for the Lincoln at the end of the week. Now, sound advice, I thought, ran a very good third of 11 at Kempton last time out. It was a decent race won by Silver Heels, but it was before that, here at Southall, over C&D, second of seven to Noble Citizen, that excellent veteran, now nine-year-old, trained by David Simcock, who won that race well and went on, actually, to run quite well in the Lincoln trial at Wolverhampton. So I'm going to go for sound advice.
Speaking of Noble Citizen, a runner in the 350 at Southwell. This is a good handicap, probably the best race of the day, this one, John. A Class 2 handicap of seven furlongs, just the six of them, but it really is a select field. Barring perhaps Dr. Red Eye, any of the other five could win here.
Disappointing, actually, isn't it, DK? If I was the Southall management, I would just ask a few questions to myself. Here we're putting up something like 21 grand in prize money, I think.
Yeah, winner gets 13 and a half. Yeah,
winner's getting
pounds.
13 and a half. Competitive class two handicap. Why only six runners? And two of them, of course, at the top, trained by David O'Meara.
Yep.
But just dismiss one or two others. You've put the fork through Dr. Red Eyes. I would put the fork through the bottom one, Greyfriars Chorister. Has, of course, been a grand performer in the past, originally with Mark Johnson. Tom Keddie's doing a pretty good job with him. But I do think this race could be just a little bit too much for Greyfriars Chorister. So for me, the major three are the two David O'Meara horses, Dubai Hills, rather, and Frontier Fighter, and possibly Regal Parade. And Dubai Hills has got a tremendous record here at Southall. I think he's won several times here, hasn't he?
He has won seven times here,
yes,
at Southall.
He is very much a Southall specialist or a Southwell specialist. Hasn't run for a while. Ran just after Christmas. Did, in fact, finish third of seven on that occasion at Lingfield. Back here at Southall, he could be, very much happier than he was at Lingfield. But I like Forest Fighter in the race. He's been marvellously consistent, and he's run over all sorts of trips, has he not? I think he was running over a much longer distance last time out.
He was. He ran over 11 furlongs last time out and probably didn't see the trip out, and that's why he's been dropped back for this test. Was 2.25 lengths behind the Lockmaster last time, Frontier Fighter.
Yes, but the Lockmaster has won again in quite good style. So the form is not necessarily bad. But prior to that, he was back over this trip. And he ran extremely well over course and distance, beating Apostle, who was well fancied at the time. I think he's got a big chance. I noticed too Danny Tuthope, the stable jockey to the O'Meara yard, is in the saddle while Tom Eaves is on board Dubai Hills. I think, just slightly keeping the memory box ticking over, I think Tom Eaves has been in the saddle on Dubai Hills before, when that horse has run well at Southall. Regal Parade's got a chance. Former Ergo Cup winner. He's getting a bit long in the fang. Milton Bradley now trains, and he's engaged Robert Tart to take £3 £3 off. But ran, I thought, a little bit disappointingly when fifth behind Bradolini at Wolverhampton. So I'm going to go for O'Meara's 2, and I hope Frontier Fighter will be the one to score.
Thank you, John. John's 3 picks for Wednesday's racing action. McVicker in the 3.10 at Exeter. A Sound Advice in the 3.20 at Southall. And Frontier Fighter in the 3.50 at Southall. John, you're back tomorrow with the Wizard and Mr. Sean Quinn. It should be an entertaining programme, and I'd advise all the listeners to tune in.
Yeah, facing the music with those three selections, DK.
Thank you to Lord John Budden for his picks for Wednesday's racing action. Make sure you do tune in from 1:50 p.m. to Racing Radio for Sean Quinn, John Budden and Darren Owen, and Ken Pitterson's live at Kempton Park as well. Thank you again to Lord Budden, and thanks to you for listening to Wednesday's Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.